Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central and CheeseheadTiki.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by Live Blog Director Jamie Jores. We're talking some Packers football. We are back from the bye. How about that? Good to have a week off. Good to recharge the batteries a little bit and get ready for the stretch run of the NFL season. So, we're talking about the Packers' push for the playoffs here. We're getting ready for a game this weekend against the Detroit Lions. And thank you all so much for joining us here this morning. The news of the week, the news of the past 48 hours, I guess. News broke on Monday that the Packers have placed tackle Brian Bulaga on injured reserve. Kind of surprised people, kind of caught people off guard. Everybody knew Brian Bulaga was injured. Of course, he was injured in the Packers' last game before the bye against Arizona. Had the hip injury. But nobody really thought it was, or knew it was, season-ending severe. So Brian Bulaga placed on injured reserve. His season's done. They have the new rule where one player can come off injured reserve, but the Packers already use that rule with running back Cedric Benson. So, Brian Bulaga was not eligible for that and done for the year. And now the Packers turn to kind of a patchwork offensive line that really isn't all that bad. TJ Lang shifts out, kicks out from left guard to right tackle, which he's done before. He did in the Cardinals game. He did it last season in 2011. I think as a rookie he played some tackle as well, although he might have played left tackle. I think he played right, both left and right sides. Am I correct as a rookie? I mean, we're talking like 4 years ago now, testing my memory a little bit. But yeah, in his rookie year, he played both on the left and right tackle a little bit, in addition to guard. But TJ Lang will shift out there, and now Evan Dietrich Smith will take over at left guard the rest of the season, the remainder of the way. Kind of big news here for the Packers, and I would assume that the Packers will actually be in okay shape. That's my opinion. I think they can get through this. It's not ideal. I think Brian Bulaga was starting to come into his own this season. He really had a rough, one game. That Detroit game was really rough on him. The Seahawks game. Week three of the season, everybody remembers it for a reason. They don't want to remember it for the blown call by the referee. But on top of that, it's hard to forget the 8 sacks the Packers gave up in one half, and Brian Bulaga responsible for several of them. Came away from that game with an injured knee, but since that time, he's been building up. He's gotten presumably back to health. Prior to the hip injury, it didn't seem like his knee was bothering him to the extent that he needed to be taken out of the game or anything along those lines. So it seemed like Brian Bulaga was getting back to form. He was back to being the kind of guy who you could rely on, maybe one of the better right tackles in the NFL, you could conceivably say. But then that hip injury happened, and back to square one here. Or back to, I don't know what square we're at. Maybe not square one, but square two? I don't know. Brian Bulaga, I hope it's not an injury that, debilitates the Packers' offensive line. Because now we're also going to talk about offensive line depth here and where the Packers are at. Like I said before, I think the Packers can, they can withstand one injury here. But they may not be able to withstand two. Evan Dietrich Smith, a guy who has experience, you know, he's going to be plugged in at left guard. I do worry about how the Packers will run the ball to the left side of the offensive line. Marshall Newhouse, you know, not exactly known for his, you know, run blocking abilities. They've already struggled running to the left side of the line with TJ Lang over there. So, you know, here's a guy who's not quite as good as TJ Lang, although not bad with Evan Dietrich Smith. He does have some experience last year, got a couple starts under his belt. And, you know, what is Evan Dietrich Smith then? He's in his fourth year in the NFL now. So he should be, you know, the kind of guy who's entering the prime of his NFL career. So, you know, you should be getting some pretty good. You're going to be getting the best play out of Evan Dietrich Smith you're probably ever going to get. I mean, maybe he's still got some good years ahead of him. But with Bulaga, and I believe Aaron Rodgers, you know, touched on this in his weekly radio show yesterday on the ESPN radio affiliate in Milwaukee, that Brian Bulaga's career is not, you know, being threatened. This isn't a career-threatening injury. That's what Aaron Rodgers says, at least. Again, I mean, I probably knows more than we do, being in the locker room every day. But not coming from the source, not coming from the Packers. But, you know, it has to be. I mean, you would think, first of all, if the Packers had the option of possibly bringing Brian Bulaga back at the end of the season, before the end of the season, maybe that could be an option. But, you know, when you're forced to make roster moves and place him in injured reserve, it automatically ends his season. So, you know, I don't know. Again, just speculating here. I don't know the answer myself. But so the Packers having to deal with this. And now a storyline that's going to emerge, too, is Evan Dietrich Smith going up against Ndamukong Suh. In the trenches this weekend. Of course, that was the storyline a couple weeks last year when the Packers faced the Detroit Lions on Thanksgiving. That's when the infamous Sue Stomp occurred. And now Brian Bulaga's injury has assured that Evan Dietrich Smith will be in the starting lineup and will be going against Sue, maybe not on every play. And in fact, as I remember it here, you know, Sue lines up on the left side of center most often, which is actually where he'd be going up against Josh Sitton. You'll remember last year it was Evan Dietrich Smith that replaced an injured Josh Sitton, at least temporarily. So, you know, they may not be going up against each other all that often, but they'll be in the game together, and you can imagine that Evan Dietrich Smith will be throwing a block on Ndamukong Suh every now and again. We wait to see what happens on Sunday there, see if there's any lingering effects, emotions, temperaments. I don't know. I doubt anything will happen to that extent again. I doubt we're in store for another stomp or anything along those lines. There might be a benches clearing brawl if that were to happen. But I think Ndamukong Suh can restrain himself. He might do something else stupid, but it may not be a stomp. Regardless, the Packers going to have to be ready for Ndamukong Suh. You know, obviously a dominant force, a guy who has the potential at least to be a dominant force for the Detroit Lions. A guy that, you know, it's good that, you know, probably the Packers' best offensive lineman is Josh Sitton. So the Packers have their best player going up against, you know, the Detroit Lions' best defender, probably. You know, but at times, Ndamukong Suh's kind of been up and down. Last year, there kind of people were saying maybe he's overrated or, at least had a down year last year. But, obviously the potential is there. You've seen it. He's been dominant in the past. He can still be. Everybody saw that hit he put on Jay Cutler earlier this season. Kind of grabbed him by the shoulder and took him down. The strength of Ndamukong Suh is just so unbelievable. I've never seen a guy with such strength, with such upper body strength. He can just manhandle people. But it's good. The Packers have Josh Sitton to go across from him most of the time. If anybody can handle him, it's Josh Sitton. He himself, a strong dude. It'll be a battle in the trenches this upcoming weekend. Interesting here. I see on the live blog a lot of what do we have? Talk going on about Monte Ball. Monty Ball. Pardon me. The Wisconsin Badgers running back. I'm not sure what brought this discussion along here, other than we got just Leviticus 268 telling us they're talking NFL draft here. It's never a bad time to talk about the NFL draft. I mean, it's never a bad time to talk about football in general. And of course, Monty Ball being the Wisconsin Badgers running back and the Wisconsin connection here. It's been an interesting season for Monty Ball. Not to get away from the Packers here too much. He started the season so slow, and I wrote a little bit about this in the college football weekend preview that I do every week here at Cheesehead TV. One week, several weeks ago now, a month ago, I had written how Monty Ball got off to a very slow start to the season, and perhaps it's understandable the reasons why when he got beat up by, what was it, three people, or was it even more than that? Jumped on State Street, or right off State Street this past summer, suffered a concussion. And then in an early season game, what was it, maybe the third game of the year, suffers another concussion. So you could understand why maybe that maybe perhaps had an effect on him. And just maybe if nothing else too, got Monty Ball down mentally, doubting himself, things like that. But he's bounced back in a big way, and I really think he's good. I like Monty Ball. I do think he can be a good running back in the NFL. I think he's really talented. I think he can help you in the passing game as well. He catches a fair amount of passes for the Badgers. At least he did last season. They like to put the ball in his hands a lot. And I think he's shown a burst this season that he wasn't showing earlier in the year. Getting back to Packers talk here, and we'll try to save most of our draft talk for the off season. Lot of time to talk about that in the February, March, April time frame. What else do we have going on here with the Packers matchup with the Lions coming up here this weekend? This week, today, Wednesday, it will be the first injury report released since the bye, since the Packers took on the Arizona Cardinals. So that'll be kind of an anticipated item this afternoon when the Packers release that information. They practice this afternoon. Usually the reports start coming in just before lunchtime, just before noontime. Who's practicing, who's not. And then Mike McCarthy holds his official press conference, I believe, at today at 1 o'clock p.m. And right before he hits the podium, they usually give out the official injury report. Who practiced, who didn't, you know, to what extent did they practice, were they limited, were they full, whatever. And, it, you know, on everybody's mind, they're going to be wondering about Clay Matthews. You know, obviously a guy who's, you know, it can impact a game immensely. The Packers' best defender, has been for a couple seasons now, and understandably so. The way he can rush the passer, even when he's not getting the quarterback himself, the way he can open things up for other people, the way he drops into coverage, which is totally underrated. Clay Matthews is really good in pass coverage, and it's almost a shame because, like, you don't want to take him away from rushing the passer because he's so good at that, but he's actually really good covering people. And, you know, just a good player in general, the kind of guy who hustles. He can run down running backs from the backside just with his hustle on run plays. Not the greatest at setting an edge, but better than a lot of people. You know, I suppose that his stoutness in the run game would be a relative weakness, but it's only relative. It's still really good compared to most people. And it has a lot to do with effort and motor that help makes up for it there. And so, you know, what's going to happen is Clay Matthews is not going to practice all week. This is just coming from me. Mike McCarthy hasn't said this or anything, but Clay Matthews ain't practicing this week. Don't expect him to. I even Friday, you know, sometimes they hold guys out to the last possible minute. They give them Wednesday off, they give them Thursday off, and then Friday maybe they'll practice. Clay Matthews ain't even practicing on Friday this week. He's going to be basically, I would say, a game time decision on Sunday. And even then, I personally anticipate the Packers withholding Clay Matthews from this week's game, at least. That's just the way I feel. I don't know. Things can change in the drop of a hat, the moment, a moment's notice. All of a sudden, Mike McCarthy could announce during his press conference, Clay Matthews has a chance to play. And maybe there might be some hope there. But, you know, they're not going to take any chances with him whatsoever. They're going to rest that hamstring as much as possible and wait to see if possibly, maybe he can go Sunday. And I don't think he's going to. And I can see on the live blog here, talk has turned to, you know, who would possibly replace Clay Matthews in the starting lineup. And really, it goes about, you know, replacing Nick Perry, too, who's now been placed on injured reserve, the first-round draft pick of the Packers. So Packers getting a little thin on outside linebacker depth, you know, conceivably, if both, you know, Clay Matthews and Nick Perry are out. I mean, Nick Perry is out, and if Clay Matthews joins him, we're looking at the starting duo of the Green Bay Packers being Eric Walden on the left side, Desmond Moses on the right side of the defense. That's what we're looking at. Eric Walden is had the best season of his career, I think, so far. You know, he's coming around. He's improved so much in defending the run. It's unbelievable. From where he came from when he first joined the Packers back in, remember that, during the Super Bowl season 2010, where he was at that point in his career, it got ugly sometimes. But he's improved so much and, you know, doing a pretty good job rushing the passer. He's not always getting the sacks, but boy, Eric Walden is putting some hits on some people. And I think we saw that the last game, right, against the Cardinals. He ended up, you know, leveling John Skelton a couple times. He's done it, it's happened more than just the Arizona game. So good job there. And, but the Packers have added to their depth at outside linebacker now, because they have Frank Zombo is officially off the PUP list and is eligible to return and play. He was on the roster for the Cardinals game, but didn't play. He was inactive that day. But you have to assume this'll be he'll be back and active finally here this Sunday against the Lions. So we'll probably see Frank Zombo play. Then to replace Brian Blagg on the roster when they placed him on injured reserve, the Packers signed Vic Saoto. The apostrophe. You know, he was a guy that, you know, made the name for himself last season, you know, during the preseason. We're talking 2011 here. Ended up having a big preseason, getting a couple sacks, scoring a touchdown. Everybody can remember that very fondly. And he was on the Packers roster all last year and played a little bit, you know, didn't make an impact whatsoever for the Packers. He was on the roster all year. And he's back. He was with the Packers this preseason too. End up cut. You know, he got injured. He got an injury settlement and released, signed with the Raiders, released by the Raiders just recently. And they play a 4-3 defense in Oakland, so, you know, maybe he had a tough time adjusting to that. But anyway, back in the 3-4 with the Packers, back in a familiar defense, we'll see how Vic Saoto does. Hard to see him making an impact at least right away here. You know, obviously he's been gone from the team for months. Not to say he can't catch up quickly, but it might take a little bit of time for him to catch back up. But, you know, I think the Packers will be okay there. They'll be in okay shape depth-wise, seeing as they just added these two guys to the roster in the past couple weeks, Zombo, Saoto. They even have didn't Jamari Lattimore play a little bit of outside linebacker against the Cardinals after Clay Matthews went out of the game? You know, Jamari Lattimore, kind of a guy who's been playing both outside linebacker last year, kind of switched a little bit to inside linebacker this year, played, you know, primarily there during the preseason. But, yeah, so the Packers gonna need, you know, a good effort from especially Walden and Moses during the Lions, because they're going to see a lot of playing, regardless of Clay Matthews plays or not. I mean, Walden obviously is going to play almost the entire game. And Moses, you know, he plays occasionally in, you know, what, the Packers dime package anyway. So those two guys going to have to play up at a high, going to have to elevate their level of play to, first of all, you know, make up for the loss of potentially Clay Matthews. And, you know, just in general, Packers can use a playmaker on the team, a guy who can get some sacks, a guy who can force a fumble maybe, you know, whatever. Packers could use that from this team. From their outside linebackers, from the guys who play opposite Clay Matthews when he's in there. So that's the health situation. I mean, we're gonna be sitting here this afternoon. We're gonna be waiting for the status of Jordy Nelson as well. You know, he's apparently passed his hamstring injury. At least it, you know, didn't appear to be a problem during the Arizona Cardinals game, their last game. He suffered that ankle injury, but, you know, nobody said it was anything serious. Mike McCarthy said it wasn't going to bother him at all. So, you know, he should be back from that. Whether or not he practices today on Wednesday, I don't know. The Packers did get the return. They practiced on Monday, and they got a couple players back from injury. You know, who all practiced on Monday there? Sam Shields was back. Jarrell Worthy was back from his concussion. I feel like I'm missing somebody else here as well. But those guys have returned for sure. You know, they should be healthy and ready to go. No restrictions on either Worthy or Shields. So that's all good news. I mean, we're going to be waiting for a couple weeks yet, I'm sure, on Greg Jennings and Charles Woodson. You know, it'd be interesting to see that, you know, Cedric Benson, where he's at. I think at the time Cedric Benson was placed on injured reserve, of course, he was the person designated for return. I think he had to sit out for a minimum of 6 weeks before he could return to practice. And then kind of like the PUP list, I think he has a couple weeks to practice. I'm not sure. Is it 3 weeks that he can't return to the roster for at least 3 weeks after that? But he has 3 weeks to practice if the Packers need him, if need be. And so we're getting close to that time where Cedric Benson can return. He's probably not there yet, but we're getting close to his return, and that would certainly help the Packers' running game, if he's back to close to 100%. Hopefully some time off heals those bones that were broken in his foot, and, he gets back to action. Packers' running game could use him. Alex Green and James Starks did a good job against the Cardinals. Nothing great, but hopefully they can get back to action here this upcoming weekend and help spark the Packers' ground game. Hopefully. I mean, it's always going to be about the pass in Green Bay. Always will be. But, here we go. John on the live blog lists all the players that the Packers could use back and fully healthy. Jennings, Nelson, Woodson, Benson, Matthews, Finley, Raji. After the bye week, guys who have just been kind of, part of the walking wounded, JerMichael Finley and B.J. Raji, the bye probably did guys like that wonders. The bye worked wonders for them, because they've been able to play mostly through it, been able to, grind their way through injuries, things that haven't been debilitating, sprained ankle for B.J. Raji, the shoulder for JerMichael Finley. They should really begin back rounding into form now that they've had a week off and can get back into things. So that'll be big for them to see how they respond this week. If those two guys start playing at a Pro Bowl level, look out. Packers are going to be good. I think the Packers, it's not just about injuries, but it seems to be shaping up like the 2010 season for the Packers, doesn't it? Just how they kind of started the season a little bit slow in 2010. What were they? I mean, they were about 500 a quarter of the way through the season or whatever it was. They struggled, lost a couple games they shouldn't have early in the season. But now, both in 2010 and now, the Packers just gaining a little steam. And, I don't think the Packers are going to be perfect from here on out. They're not going to go undefeated the rest of the way. But, they don't have to. They can just, get a little steam going in the last few weeks of the season, get hot at the right time. And that's what's so important, to be playing your best ball at the end of the season, to get hot heading into the playoffs. They can do that, They could suffer a loss even this week, next week against the Giants, wouldn't be the end of the world. Not that I want them to see them do that. But if they can bounce back from that, beat the Bears, man, that's going to be huge. That Bears game, looking forward to that in a few weeks. I mean, certainly I'd love to see beat the Lions and the Giants too. Giants would be a big one on the road. It's going to be a good game. This is going to be a tough game. But that's what we have to look forward to the next several weeks here as the Packers get back from the bye, get back to action here. Finally a game. If that bye week feels so long, doesn't it? It's just like you get used to the routine week in, week out of expecting the Packers to play on the weekend or Monday Night Football if necessary. And then the bye week comes and it just catches you off guard a little bit. It just throws off your timing, throws off your schedule a little bit. I mean, it's good. Good for the Packers. They need it. But yeah, time for them here to get back to action here. make the playoff push. But yeah, that'll do it, folks. Here for a Wednesday morning episode of Railbird Central. Thanks for so much joining us here for the first episode since the bye week. We'll be back on Friday. In fact, if anyone out there knows anyone who would like to be our Detroit in Focus guest on Friday, hit me up. Let me know. I need a guest for Friday yet. Haven't lined one up for Friday morning, which I'll probably solicit some guests on Twitter, maybe perhaps later this afternoon. But anyhow, thanks for joining us. On behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Caravu. We'll be back on Friday with our Detroit in Focus episode. And we'll be back after that as well. After the Lions game, we'll have Brett Goode on the show Monday morning. We're nearing episode number 200 here. Within the next week, we're going to hit episode number 200 of Railbird Central. So I'm looking forward to that moment. But anyway, thanks a lot, folks, for joining us here this morning on a Wednesday morning. We'll see ya. I leave you today with a song called Mental Floss by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack Go.